I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dad gave away. Dad gave away. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out.
Dad gave away. Dad gave away.
Give away. My neighbor got big testicles, cause we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out. So I opened the door, we can't get in that way. The body can't fit through the door, only your hand. So we kick the bottom. And she comes out and she says, it's some old girls up in that house. Call 911 and they called him at McDonald's. I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dad gave away. My neighbor got big testicles cause we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out. Dad gave away.
So, what do you think there, Conan?
Well,
would you eat ribs with the dude that had some girls, I guess, kidnapped?
Well, he didn't know it. He was living there for many, many years.
Right.
Had no idea.
Right.
I mean, so the big question is, how many people do we know? You know, our neighbors, our very own neighbors, people we work with. People.
You're assuming I talk to my neighbors.
Well, I mean, exactly. And so, I mean, he has gone one step further than I even do. I mean, I know my neighbors over here. I know their names, but I don't know half of my neighbors.
I see one of my neighbors pretty much every morning when I'm coming home from work.
Yeah. But do you know his name?
I met the guy. I barely remember any. I have a horrible short-term memory.
The guy could be a serial killer.
No, I don't think he is.
You don't know.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying I don't think he is.
And in fact, eating ribs with that dude, you know, that might.
Oh yeah, if I ate ribs with him, then that's definitely like the ribs of the person that he just killed.
Exactly. You seen The Burbs?
The Burbs.
Oh, it was old. No. Tom Hanks was in it, I think. Anyways, the Russian neighbors moved in, and shit just went to hell.
No, I never saw it.
And he was of the sneaking suspicion that his new neighbors were serial killers. And he couldn't convince his family and his other neighbors, the little group, he couldn't convince them that it was, in fact, that they were bad news bears. And he thought he was going crazy at the end. Spoiler alert, yeah, they were bad guys. But it was a good little movie. Old 80s
movie.
Never
saw it. Never saw it.
Well, I think you've got it. There's enough movies that you need to watch before you watch that one, I think.
Yeah.
But anyways, hey, who are we?
Oh, I'm Daryl. You're Conan. This is Black Sheep Rising.
Hold on. I got something for us. Yeah. Still working out the bugs. This is episode 00. Pre-trial taping of Black Sheep Rising.
This is like the pre-pilot.
Yep. We are working out the bugs. We're tuning the bells and whistles and making sure all this stuff flows properly. I hope it does because.
Yeah, I hope it does too because it's going to be fun.
Right.
Or at least it should be fun. And we used to do Shire TV together.
Right, we did 34 episodes.
We did 34 episodes.
Well, you when did you come on, you know, at 5 or 6 or something like that?
Something like that. It was a few episodes in, but yeah. Wow, 34. I didn't realize.
Once a week, and it was it started to become painful because, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, if I was doing that job and I was getting little chinkles, I was getting a little compensation, I would have enjoyed doing that for sure.
Right.
It's very satisfying.
But when it's volunteer, and there were several people involved, but it seemed as though there were very few people that were actually contributing to the show.
It's work.
So it was very draining.
Yeah, I agree.
And this show is going to be a lot more laid back. There's not going to be the script writing as there was in Shire TV.
Yes.
So this is going to be a much more formal show. As you can see, I'm actually consuming a beverage here, which I don't normally consume alcohol too much. Mostly, and you're laughing at me about this, but when you have a permanent headache, alcohol doesn't help with that. But occasionally, you know, it's good to unwind.
I don't understand that. I would like for you to figure that out, because you know that always makes me a little
brain damage.
Exactly. And so, did you play football?
I did.
Okay. So, are you of the opinion that you probably clashed heads a little too often?
Actually, the vast majority of my head injuries are not related to sports.
Falling off of things.
Car accidents? That would account for falling off of things accounts for several. Just being a klutz accounts for several. And then doing stupid things, such as running into doors, not intentionally, but you know when you're playing hide and seek in dark buildings, you run into things. And
hey, well, you're still here.
Yeah.
Well, so anyways, 34 episodes of Shire TV. Taking a break. We're going to do this. We're going to see how it works. We're going to air it on Cheshire TV. It's going to show probably on Wednesdays at...
that's the plan, currently.
At 10 o'clock, and then we'll try to maybe air it on the radio here and there.
Yeah, and hopefully the audio quality will be up to par, and this hopefully will run on LRN, possibly on Liberty Movement Radio, which is another Liberty radio network. And, yeah, so hopefully we will be able to do this every week. The plan right now, I think, is on Sunday evenings about 9 o'clock to do this thing live. And hopefully I would like to be able to live stream this at some point.
Right.
I'm not sure where we're at technologically to be able to do that.
I know it. I've jumped through some hurdles. I've jumped through some fiery hoops in the past couple of weeks getting all this up and running. Definitely, that's another hurdle for sure.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that...
You've got two machines running here. There's three monitors, three cameras.
Yeah, I think we need a website. I'm thinking we need to get the Facebook up and active.
Yeah.
Facebook, Black Sheep Rising. By the way, someone else got the name. So we've got to figure out another Black Sheep - Rising, or I don't know. I mean, something. I mean, definitely if you just Facebook search it, you're going to find Black Sheep Rising. It's going to be right up at the top. But go there.
Well, what's the web? We have the domain name, right?
Black Sheep Rising. .org, and then this month I'll probably be able to get .com as well.
Okay, so here's what we could do for the Facebook page. It could be facebook.com/blacksheeprising.org.
Okay.
Because they allow you to have a ..
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Facebook for my publishing company, which is fpp.cc, is the website. The Facebook page is facebook.com/fpp.cc.
Okay, solved. All right, that one's taken care of. So anyways, go there. You can search it. Like us. If you have any comments on what we're doing right or wrong, let us know.
If you want to send us some show prep.
If you want to send show prep, if you want to see something that we're doing or that we're not doing and you want us to do it. Well, no, hold on. That could be nasty. But...
send us suggestions.
Do what you do on Facebook pages. You go there and you hang out and you give feedback and stuff, and that's what we need right now.
Give us your feedback, and we might take your suggestions. We might tell you to go F yourself.
That's right.
Most likely we won't, but you never know. So we've got some show prep already here.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait. So we're what? Are we a news? Are we a news program? What the fuck are we?
We're not. I don't really know. We're what? Not a news program.
What the hell is this show? Wait, and hold on. I got another question. Aren't there enough Liberty shows out there already? Why do we need another one? Is that what we are?
Because they're fun to do.
Because of the free market.
Yeah, the free market.
That's right.
If we wind up being, you know, better than the Freedom Fiends, then we'll one day get syndicated on GCN.
I think you just started a clash just now. I think now it's going to come back to bite us.
No, I'm not beefing with the Fiends. I know that Michael Dean likes to talk about, like, the web beefs and the pod beef and the beef. And it's what's for dinner.
And the anarchists that run for government. What the hell is that all about?
Yeah.
When we're pointedly running to not run,
yeah.
When we're our stated goals are, I'm just going to take the position and sit on it. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote no.
Do everything I can to abolish the position.
Mm-hmm.
But no. So my point is, right now, Angel Clark has more Facebook fans than Free Talk Live. She doesn't have anywhere near the listeners or the.
Is that because she posts a lot of unicorns
promotions?
And stuff? Is it the unicorn factor?
I'm not sure what it is.
Huh.
I just know that she has twice as many Facebook fans as Free Talk Live. But Free Talk Live is on over 100 radio stations across the country.
Or is it, I mean, how many truck drivers have Facebook? Uh-huh. See?
Yeah.
Huh? And how many unicorn lovers have Facebook?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I like unicorns.
Right, but my point is, if people think that we're doing a better show than somebody else, that, you know, it's not saying that you can't like multiple shows, because I do multiple shows.
Gotcha. No, I was just being, I was being crazy there.
No, yes. If people like what we're doing, then they'll like us on Facebook, and they'll share the links and everything else. So, we're not really a news show, but there are some sort of news things that we'll be covering.
We could talk about Keen, activism.
Everything.
Talk about weird and bizarre stories that are worldwide that are coming up.
That's what I like talking about, is weird and bizarre stories. Speaking of weird and bizarre stories, MyScienceAcademy.org recently posted 5 psychological experiments that show our dark side. And I'm guessing by our dark side, they're speaking of, like, society as a whole. And the first one that they mention is the Ash experiments from 1953. And it says, conformity. During the 1950s, Solomon Ash conducted and published a series of laboratory experiments that demonstrated the degree to which an individual's own opinions are influenced by those of a majority group. Male college students participated in a sample perceptual task. In reality, all but one of the participants were Confederates or actors, and the true focus of the study was about how the remaining student, the real participant, would react to the actor's behavior. Only one participant was actually a genuine subject of the experiment, the rest being actors, carefully tutored to give certain pre-selected responses. Careful experimental construction placed a varying amount of peer pressure on the individual test subject. The experiment was simple in its construction. Each participant was asked to answer a series of questions, such as, which line is longer, or which match the reference. And they have a figure here, and if you're watching the video, you'll be able to see this. We'll pop it up on the screen. But for those of you playing the radio version, there's a line that says reference that appears to be about the length of an index finger. And then the other card There's A, B, and C. A is about three quarters the length of that line. The second line, B, appears to be about one and a quarter times as long. And then C is the same length as the reference. And up under it says, a replication of the card used during the experiment. The card on the left is for reference. The one on the right shows the comparison lines. So the participants gave a variety of answers at first to avoid arousing suspicion in the subject, but then with some incorrect responses added. The Ash experiment results were interesting and showed that peer pressure could have a measurable influence on the answers given. The control group, those not exposed to peer pressure, where everybody gave correct answers, threw up only one incorrect response out of 35. This could probably be explained by experimental error. The results of the groups were interesting. When surrounded by people giving an incorrect answer, over one-third of the subjects also voiced an incorrect opinion. At least 75% of the subjects gave the wrong answer to at least one question, although experimental error may have had some influence on this figure. There is no doubt, however, that peer pressure can cause conformity. It was debated whether this is because people disbelieve the evidence of their own eyes, or if it was just compliance that people hide their opinions. Now, there are a lot of different ways that we can look at this, aside from just whether or not you agree that two lines are the same length, or whether or not you...
By the way, the reference is the same size as a C.
Yes.
And it's an optical illusion the way it's set up, because if these two lines are throwing you off, doesn't line C look a little bit shorter than the reference?
Not to me.
Okay, well then you're smarter than the average. Your eyes are... Oh, you've got brain damage, that's why. But anyways, yeah, they're the same.
I can definitely tell that A is shorter and B is longer, so C has to be the same size.
But I mean, what were the questions like? Like B is, like the reference, like B is shorter than the reference.
No,
and,
so...
And if enough people say that...
They would ask, which one is the same length? And... Hold on, what the... Oh, your foot was on my cord.
Sorry, dude.
I thought your dog was down here, like, trying to chew on
Don't
my...
Don't say his name. He'll come. He's quiet in here now. Shh, the cat.
Okay. No, so they would ask, which one is the same length as the reference?
Yeah.
And in the test where they had the peer pressure, they would have everybody answer verbally. And they would always make sure that the actual test subject was the last person to answer the question. Mm-hmm. And they would have everybody else give the wrong answer, either A or B. And based on what it said here, at least 75% of the subjects gave the wrong answer to at least one question. And I think it said over one-third... also voiced incorrect opinions. I'm guessing that meant consistently. So people would, out of fear of...
Mm-hmm. I get you.
You know, either not conforming, they wouldn't say what they thought was accurate, or maybe they actually did believe that either A or B was the same length as the reference. And it makes me think of the book 1984. Where Winston Smith is being asked, how many fingers is this? When the guy held up four fingers. Because 2 + 2 = 5. That's what the government told you. 2 + 2 = 5. And at first he said 4. And then after, I think he got shocked numerous times.
See, that was the thing. There was pain involved. It wasn't just pure pressure. It was electrical voltage.
But after a while he said... I don't know. 4, 6, 5, I don't know. So, yeah, there was pain involved, but it was a thing of he was basically being pressured literally through force, mm-hmm. to give an answer that he knew was a lie, but it was, you know, to an extent to where he no longer acknowledged what was true or what he actually believed.
With this experiment in mind, are you in favor of private voting or in blind voting, as opposed to
yes,
yay nay voting?
Absolutely,
because it excludes this, or it actually
it
takes into
discourages to some extent, mm-hmm. but I think the voting methods that we currently have with the winner take all, and it's not just the winner take all plurality elections, because there are other countries that have that also have very strong third, fourth, and fifth parties. The United Kingdom, I believe, has five parties consistently in Parliament. The Canadian Parliament consistently has four or five parties in their Parliament. And they both use what they call riding, which is similar to congressional districts. And they use plurality, which means that if there's four candidates running and one person gets more votes than anybody else, it doesn't matter if it's over 50%, then that person is the winner. But one thing that's interesting about the UK and Canada is there's fair ballot access, meaning that all candidates have the same path to the ballot. There's not this sort of procedure here in the US to where Republicans and Democrats automatically get on and everybody else has to spend a lot of time and energy just
exactly.
trying to get on.
Every year.
And then, yeah, and then by the time you've spent half of your money getting on the ballot, you don't have enough money to actually run a campaign. That at the election cycles are much shorter mm-hmm. in Canada and the UK. So I think that plays into it. But yeah, the blind voting actually, you know, plays a part as well. And they have much lower re-election rates than in the U.S.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the things. When I was writing the book Duopoly, How the Republicrats Control the Electoral System or Electoral Process, I compared U.S. elections to that of Canada and the U.K. because I was curious to see if, you know, ballot access actually played some sort of effect on re-election rates. Not to mention having multiple parties being represented in the Parliament or Congress. And the conclusion that I came to was that fair ballot access reduces re-election rate and increases the number of parties being represented.
But it might reduce re-election, but I mean, are the possible candidates politicians? All of the above.
Well, they're pretty much all going to be politicians.
So you're just cycling through more of the same.
But
is there a chance?
But when you're having multiple parties being represented, you're getting multiple views mm-hmm. instead of just the weird binary system that we have in the U.S. to where there's an issue. Pick any issue. And the mainstream media tells you that there's two sides.
Yes.
There's actually 7 or 8 or 9,000 sides to any issue. But the government doesn't want to tell you that. They want to, oh, well, if you think this way on this, then you're a conservative.
Not in a good boxing match.
If you think
not a good wrestling match.
Against this, then, yeah. Actually, you know, my favorite wrestling matches are like the six-man elimination matches, the Royal Rumble. I love the Royal Rumble.
Sometimes they team up though, don't they?
Just for a little bit.
Just for seconds.
Just for a second. Yeah. So sort of like in Parliament, where if one party doesn't have a majority of the seats, they have to form coalitions in order to create what they call the coalition government. And then one party can then withdraw from the coalition if they're not getting what they think they should be. So I believe it's in the UK. It might be Canada. There's one of those two where the Green Party several times has actually joined in to give whatever coalition government gets formed to actually put them over to where they have enough to make the majority. So minor parties actually do have a lot of effect in some of these other countries. Mm-hmm. So it's not just blind voting, which I really like the idea of the secret ballot. But I don't like the idea of the government printed ballot.
Yeah.
And that's something that started out in Australia in the late 1850s and then took a hold in the U.S. in the 1880s. And South Carolina was actually the last state to institute the government printed ballot in 1952, I believe.
But what was it before?
There was basically the party ballot, to where any party made up a ballot. Mm-hmm. There was no ballot access requirement because there were no government-issued ballots. So we're both co-chairs of the New Hampshire Liberty Party.
Right.
So the New Hampshire Liberty Party could print off its own ballot saying, here's who we want, right, and then pass those around, and people could then take our ballot into the polling place and drop it in the ballot box.
Wait, so all right, so what if they never met us? What if they didn't see us? I mean, how do they know who's available for vote on?
The party, the different party. There are, you know, county party chairs, there's the state parties. Somebody affiliated with the party would print off a bunch of copies of the ballot, make sure that they get distributed. And most of the time people would see numerous ballots. And sometimes they would turn in what was called a scratch ballot, where they would take, let's just say, for instance, you don't get a Liberty Party ballot, but you know who a couple of the Liberty Party candidates are, and you've got a Republican Party ballot.
Mm-hmm.
You could then scratch through the names of some of the Republican candidates and write the names of the Liberty Party candidates, and then essentially you're doing a write-in vote on another party's ballot, doing what they call a scratch ballot, where you scratch out some of the names.
I can see that working very well in a small community where,
yeah,
you know, those types of things could be handled. But when you start getting into the hundreds of thousands of people, you know, just one city with a population of 100,000 or whatnot.
Right, but that's how all voting was done for the most part until government started issuing ballots. There were some places where people would go, they'd stand in line and then tell the clerk or whoever it is that was tabulating, these are the people that I'm voting for. So you would vocalize your ballot instead of having handwritten or turning something in.
Hey, I don't know what to
say. I think it would definitely be probably a better situation than what we have now. Would definitely break the stronghold of the Republicans and Democrats.
It'd be nice if we just get rid of the whole silly system. The whole voting for a representative to represent.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a representative that doesn't really represent us at all. It's all very it's upsetting sometimes.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to the city of Keene here is getting ready to pass its New Year's budget plan, and they are foreseeing, the city manager has handed his proposal out, 3.7% increase, and as far as what I've heard from all the city councilors, they're all good to go. Their excuse is blame the state. The state isn't giving us our money that we gave to them.
That sounds like the same excuse that the school board gave.
That's right.
Of the state's not giving us enough money because we have declining enrollment. Well, of course they're not giving you as much money because you have fewer people. When you have fewer kids, your budget should shrink because it doesn't cost as much to educate fewer people.
It's the same way I operate my household here. If I make less money, if I take a couple days off in a month, I'm going to make less money, right? Well, then I have to compensate. I have to buy less things that month.
Yeah.
It's really easy. All I have to do is look at my planned budget, and I have to eliminate a couple of things. I can't go out to eat this night. I can't rent a movie this night, or whatever. I can't buy an extra shirt this month. It's really simple. But I don't increase it when I make less.
Respect their authority.
You know what? What I need, well, you know what?
Just respect their authority, and we're going to get a man in a robe to come stand behind us and just tell us that the experiment must continue.
But you know what? To blame it on the guy above me, to blame it on my employer, or to blame it on my parents who live in another state because they raised me wrong or something, I mean, that's the wrong way to look at this. We need to focus on how we're doing business.
Yeah.
Stop worrying about the Fed. Stop worrying about the state. If the state's not giving us money that we gave to them, well, I have a solution. And the same thing with the Fed. Stop giving them the money.
Yeah.
We can do that. All right. Well, hey, you kept this much money that we gave to you this year, and you didn't give it back to us. Hey, you know what? Next year, we're not giving you that much more.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that Terry Clark is actually proposing something like that. I think he's doing it in the wrong way, but I think I heard something today about, something in that, you know, that mindset of not, you know, of keeping the money.
Yeah, I wonder if, and I know there was the proposal several years ago. There was the town in Vermont that kept attempting to secede and become part of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Keene seems to be like this, you know, liberal haven within New Hampshire. I wonder if the city of Keene would attempt to secede and join Vermont.
Vermont or Massachusetts? Do you think that there's...
Vermont.
I don't know. Do you think they would want to do something like that? And pay even more taxes?
In Keene seem to love taxes.
State, yeah, but now they're... Yeah,
and
now you're
they
talking
hate
about,
business.
Now you're talking about state taxes.
They love taxes and they hate business.
I don't know how many people do. I think that the people who run for office are the kind of people who like taxes. People who move here out of state...
How many people...
Who want to build this city on the hill, this utopia,
how
and they
many
want to do
people
it like...
during the Keene School Board deliberative session kept saying, raise my taxes. I'll pay $50 more a year in taxes because I want this program. There's a lot of people that are like that.
Middle class welfare.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. And how many of those people actually come from New Hampshire? How many people of those are liberty-minded people who actually were born and raised here?
Oh, you're talking about liberty-minded people in... Or even
independent types, people who are just on the rail and just not, they don't, you know, just want to be left alone.
Those people aren't going to school board meetings.
Exactly. The people who go to school board meetings, the people who go to city council meetings, first of all, very little and very few. But the people who do go to those things are the people who are worried about something that is going to be lost.
Yeah, because
who showed up the school board meeting? The last budget meeting?
Teachers. Teachers, spouses,
sports, athletics, artists, and librarians are nurses.
Yeah,
because their jobs were on the line, so they're the ones that showed up.
Yeah,
they sold their pitch, and I think a couple of jobs were salvaged and saved. The budget still went up, even though since 2007, Keene High Schools have lost 400 students.
Yeah,
they're going to lose like 50 or 60 this year alone. And yet every single year it goes up and up and up and up. And it's like, you know, why? Well, all you have to do is look at the salaries went up.
Yeah.
Retirement went up.
Well, because there's all these union contracts and we can't cut these things. These are automatic increases.
Someone needs to sit down with those automatic increases and say, hey, look.
Yeah.
You guys are ruining everyone.
There was a town in Michigan that laid off their entire teaching staff. Everybody that worked at the school was fired because the school board did not have money to pay them until the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. And are they going to be regrouped in the new year, or is it over?
I don't know.
Well, you know what? That needs to be publicized. We need to get that video and show it because...
Yeah, I covered that story on...
One day that could possibly happen here.
Yeah.
Because you're just gonna keep running it up and running it up, and you're going to run out of young people who are actually paying taxes. And that's the other thing. I mean, I just found out about the tax exemption for old people. A lot of these people who vote and keen, they don't even pay taxes. They're exempt. I think it's like 65 and up, you're exempt.
So, is it everybody or only veterans? No.
65 and up, and you've lived here for like 3 years, you're tax exempt.
Nice.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, go ahead and vote for all these programs that you don't have to pay for anymore, that you can just force us to pay for. And yes, I live here. Yes, I'm not living in my truck. You know, yes, I do live here in Keene, and I pay taxes out the ass, and I'm very unhappy about it. Because, you know, 95% of the shit that we pay for, that I'm being forced to pay for, I don't agree with. You know, I don't have a problem with paying for roads. But you know what? Snow removal. You know, I can pay a guy to do that.
Yeah.
Cheaply. It doesn't come anywhere close to what the city is paying their snow removal programs.
Yeah.
So I mean, and that's just one little tiny facet of the entire program of this. Let's take care of us. You know, Big Daddy taking care of us. Because what? Because we're too stupid to pay someone to clean our roads.
Yeah.
Or we're too stupid to fund a private school that only maybe has a couple, maybe 100 students that's right over here that can handle, you know, kindergarten through 12th, some kind of a little private charter school type of a...
Charter schools aren't...
I know.
I'm sick and tired.
Give me one of those.
Of people saying that charter schools private.
That's why I said charter private like. Sashi is
homeschooled.
She's unschooled / homeschooled / charter school. So we're doing a little bit of the above, just in case, because this is the first time. I was private schooled, not private school. Yeah, I was private schooled for a couple of years, and then I was homeschooled for a year. So, you know, I've had the and of course government school. So I've had the neat opportunity of seeing this from all different directions, and of course Sashi has always heard me talking. And I think she was interested. She wanted to see what was up.
Yeah.
So she decided, you know, let's do this. I'm not really good at teaching people unless it's, you know, step by step, and they want to know something. Like if she wants to know how to, you know, throw ceramics or something, I can test it, but. She has to stay on top of it. I'm not going to sit there and baby. I cannot micromanage people. So if she has a definite plan and she has definite questions, oh yeah, man, she can go to town and she can probably learn lots and lots and lots. But I can't sit over her shoulder and say, hey, look, all right, this is your program: math, English, science, history, da 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 da. An hour here, an hour there, an hour there. I can't do it. So if she, you know. If she's a bad, you know, planner, it can really go awry, and she can mess up a whole year of her life just goofing off and playing around and doing silliness. I don't think that's the case. You know, this unschooling thing is basically, you know, just being a backup. I'm just a support. You go, you set your agenda, you set your plan, you go to town, and just prove to me that you're being worthwhile. And some people don't even do that. In my book, just prove to me that you are, just prove to me that you're taking care of business, that you're not just loafing, that you're not just watching YouTube videos all day. And some people like Dana here in New Hampshire.
Dana Martin.
Yeah, I don't even think she does that. But I think she's...
A couple of her kids own their own business.
Yeah, I know. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sashi could do that.
Yeah.
She does enough arts and crafts. She does enough... Well, you know what? She does enough bracelets and crap that she sells at school before she left. I mean, you know, it's... it's a possibility that she can take up. But working for yourself is hard.
Yes. Yeah.
I know that you know.
I'm trying to do that. That not making enough money at it, so I clean toilets at Target at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, you always hear the Liberty types talking about the agorism and all, but it's a hard sale.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really you do your day's work, and then you go home and have your dinner and you go to sleep. But you know what? The day's not over. You're still that job is still there. You're still thinking about who you need to fire. You're still thinking about who you need to call the next morning to get a good sale. I mean, it never ends.
Yeah.
And that could be tiresome. I mean, it's really easy to go to work, to do your business.
I honestly cannot remember the last day that I was not doing some kind of work.
Well, you're better off than some. I look at your schedule sometimes and see the kind of nonsense that you're putting out, and it's like, wow, you and Ian. And it's like you put the rest of us to shame sometimes. But I know you're lazy like us too.
I do my share of goofing off, but I'm just saying, like, I honestly cannot remember the last time that I didn't at least put up a blog post or something, you know, spend an hour and a half checking and responding to emails.
Yeah, but I mean, some people aren't able to do that. Some people have to be told what to do. Because that's how they were raised.
Yeah.
Their whole lives, they were told what to do. They joined the military, or they were raised in government schools. Every single hour of the day, they were told what to do. They go home, and they're told what to do from their parents. And then they go out into the workplace. Maybe they join the military, and they're told what to do. And it's just forever. And it's just like they can't think for themselves. And then so they have this mindset that they can't make decisions for themselves, which is untrue. You just have to do it.
You just have to apply yourself.
Yeah.
All right. So it's hard to believe, but we're already about 40-something minutes into the show.
Holy crap.
And we only went through one of the really weird psychological experiments. So instead of trying to rush through the other five, I've got this really weird story. And this is what I like talking about, is the weird stories. This comes from the Huffington Post. It's about a couple of guys up in North Dakota that how's a nice way to say this? They were running train on a woman that they picked up from the bar, and the one guy was upset that his buddy was, quote, hogging all the pussy, so he stabbed him with a 12-inch butcher knife and attempted to kill him. The story.
I've got something for you.
Okay. Hold on. You've got things over there. All right. Well, what sort of noise do you have?
There you go.
Yeah. So it says, a menage a trois turned into a bordel monstre when a North Dakota man was stabbed after refusing to change positions. Orlando DeWitt was allegedly stabbed in the forearm by Fargo resident Ashley Hunter, who he had previously met in prison. The tryst went down February 8th after the two men left a Fargo bar and went back to Hunter's house for a party. According to The Smoking Gun, DeWitt told police that he and a female partier began kissing on the couch when Hunter joined in. The woman began to perform oral sex on Hunter while DeWitt had intercourse with her, but when Hunter asked to switch positions, DeWitt refused. That is when the threesome took a turn for the worse. Hunter reportedly threatened to fuck him up and kill him, then pulled a 12-inch butcher knife from his couch and stabbed DeWitt twice as he attempted to run away.
What is a butcher knife? Anything? Any kind of knife that butchers?
No.
Like a
meat cleaver is a butcher knife. Now, my question is,
then why is it in his couch?
Yeah, who stores a butcher knife in their couch?
Well, if I had like a Bowie knife and it's a self-defense weapon, that's where I would have him.
Right.
But what if you're like, well, hold on, maybe he's chopping chitlins, watching the show.
That is very racist.
And he's got to watch the show, and he doesn't have a counter like some people with the TV and the counter. So he's at the couch chopping with his butcher knife.
Wow.
I love chitlins, by the way.
North Dakota.
I don't know what you're talking about, racist. I mean, I love them.
I've never had them.
Well, yeah, you need to try them.
And you've never eaten lobster, so...
Look at the price of lobster compared to chitlins. It's like night and day. They're not even on the same planet. I can't afford lobster. Who do you think
if I can afford lobster, you can afford lobster.
I got taxes to pay, son. I got property taxes.
North Dakota Fox affiliate KVRR reports that DeWitt ran outside naked and called the police from a cell phone. Now, I'm curious where he had the cell phone hidden.
If he's naked?
If he's naked.
Maybe he's got it on his necklace. It's one of those bling cell phones.
Police found him bleeding and surrounded
it's
the
right
apartment
next to, it's
complex.
It's right next to his Mike's necklace.
Hunter was later arrested on charges of aggravated assault and an unrelated warrant. The victim was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, according to the Forum of Fargo-Moorhead. We're still investigating what exactly happened outside, said Lieutenant Joel Vetter. Hunter has a criminal history. He has multiple theft convictions, a robbery conviction, and a 2010 aggravated assault conviction. The unrelated warrant stems from unpaid child support. The current charge is punishable by up to 5 years in prison, a $5,000 fine, or both. And now, one thing that I think is funny about the Huffington Post is they always give you a related story.
Yes, this is, we're looking at this.
A related story is that a woman threatens two men with knives after a threesome doesn't happen. And there's a short video, so I'm just going to play this here.
Being a good neighbor is, well, good. But 44-year-old Valerie Nile wasn't so happy with hers. The Knox County Sheriff's Office in Maine says Valerie was outside, chilling with two of her neighbors, a man and a woman, when the trio's convo got a little provocative. That's when the three started talking about the possibility of getting down.
It's okay.
Yeah, something like that. But there was one little problem. Valerie was totally game. The other two, not so much. Police say she got so mad, she went to the kitchen, got three knives, and started threatening the male neighbor. Looks like someone doesn't handle rejection so well. Valerie was charged with threatening and terrorizing. And that's how this horny lady became our dumbass of the day.
Not as interesting. But, yeah, you know, I'm convinced...
Definitely not, but...
I'm convinced this is going on everywhere. This is every time
it
you
has
hear,
to.
I mean, we've got some redneck cities around here, like Troy and Winchester.
Incester.
I'm convinced this is going on everywhere.
Yeah, it has to be for two news stories to show up. You know, within
the same week.
This is from February. And this right here, it looks like it's late January. So, yeah, for two stories to show up within basically a month, it has to be happening more often than what you know.
Question is, what do these people do for a living? What kind of drugs were they on? You know, what was their, what's their background like?
Well,
and what kind of drugs were they on?
Orlando DeWitt.
And how much alcohol was involved?
Orlando DeWitt is in the theft business because he's got multiple theft convictions, a robbery conviction, and aggravated assault. And he met the other dude in prison. So, like, these aren't the high-quality sort of people that you want to be hanging out with.
Oh, shit.
So, Conan, I know we discussed several things about segments of the show. And one that I mentioned was basically something that I got the idea from the Dan Patrick show.
Not familiar. Is it good? Should I watch it?
It's a radio show, but you could watch the webcam if you want on ESPN.com.
Well, I got lots of time during the evening to listen to podcasts these days.
Dan Patrick Show is a sports talk
show. No. I don't even, why?
Hold on. But what he does at the end of the show is, what did you learn?
Oh, okay. That's pretty neat.
And he's got like five co-hosts, so it's really interesting.
And of course, they knew beforehand, and you should have told me beforehand so I could think about this. This is a hard question.
What did you learn today?
All right, you answer first so I can think about it.
Okay, I learned that if you ever meet somebody in prison and they're in for aggravated assault, to never have a three-way with them because it's probably just going to turn nasty.
Yeah. You know what? Or don't go to prison. Well, it's kind of hard these days. I mean, pretty much everything you do can send you to prison. It's, you know. So I guess staying out of prison is, you know, could be difficult.
Which, so far, we have both managed to stay out of jail.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of the few co-hosts of Free Talk Live that has never been to jail. As we know, Ian has been in and out multiple times. Mark was in for 8.5 years.
Do you think that having not gone, that you kind of lack in the know-how departments?
I used to work in a prison, so okay, well, I'm familiar with what prison is.
Yeah, but you're on the other side, and that was actually one of the experiments that we didn't cover.
Yeah, the Stanford prison experiment.
Exactly. So you were on the other side of the aisle.
I hated every day of the job.
And a guy that was selling drugs to the prison inmates here in Cheshire County, I'm sure that he was in the same ballpark. Probably not very. And I think hasn't James worked, or some at least some of his family's members?
I'm not sure.
I think he might have worked for the prison system somewhere.
I don't think he did. I know he was in the military.
Yeah, I know he's worked for the government. James? Cleveland?
Yes.
Robin Hood? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Now.
All right. So we've got about a minute.
I'm sorry. I didn't learn anything.
Oh, come on. You didn't learn anything about the lines not being the same size?
I'm trying to think of the stories that we heard and stuff that we talked about. I don't know. You know what I learned? I learned... You can't trust your representatives. Your representatives don't work for you. They have their own little dream plan in mind. They have their castle on the hill, their city in the hill. They have their own pet projects. They're running for office to appease their own value system. They don't care about you. They just need your money to fund their projects. So you know what? Fuck your government officials. Whether they be at the bottom level, whether it's city level, all the way up to the president, fuck them all, because they're not working for you, they're working for themselves. They got their own ideas. Hey, Daryl.
Yes.
What's this video we're watching?
Black Sheep by Metric. It's from some movie soundtrack, Scott Pilgrim versus
the World.
Another.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
And this is the original music video from Emily Haynes. This is Black Sheep Rising.
Take care, guys.
Common goal was waiting for the world to
guy could be a serial killer.
No, I don't think he is.
You don't know?
Hold on, what the... Oh, your foot was on my cord.
Sorry, dude.